going to open the committee, Senate Education Committee, for this day, April 17th. Thanks for coming to our special meeting today. We're going to move a number of bills today. We have one work session, so we're going to open Senate Bill 875 for our work session. Okay.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Senate Bill 875 requires the State Board of Education to adopt rules under which school personnel may administer medications that treat adrenal insufficiency to students experiencing adrenal crises. This bill has no prior subsequent referral. We are considering the Dash 1 amendments at this time. A fiscal has been issued for the Dash 1s. Further analysis is required, so we'll be sending this to Ways and Means. There's no revenue impact for the Dash 1 amendments.
Okay.
Can you describe the Dash 1 amendments, what they do?
Most certainly. So the Dash 1 amendments for Senate Bill 875 require the State Board of Education to adopt rules that include guidelines on designation and training of school personnel responsible for administering medication and specify that the school district is only required to train school personnel when the school district has been notified by a parent or guardian that a student enrolled in the school of the school district has been diagnosed with adrenal insufficiency.
Sounds reasonable to me.
And we have talked with the School Board Association and others to see if they think this is the right way to go, and they've all agreed. So I think we have a good bill.
And, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to mention, I wanted to run down. I have a constituent in the audience that does not like this bill, and I have not yet had the opportunity to tell her that I'm planning to support the bill. I do feel comfortable that the Dash 1 amendments provide the ability to put those sideboards around them. The bill itself does not create the administration of the of the injection, but it has the department talk about how that might be done in a safe way.
And I that was one of the things we really needed to make sure that how, what, when, make sure if they need to have a doctor train a person, whatever needs to happen to make it the school comfortable, the liability appropriate, and the parents in agreement with it. So this only happens if the parent comes in and asks for that to happen.
And then, and just as a follow-up, too, I understand that the work that's gone into the bill has included the schools, the educators, the department.
Yes.
In terms of following up with all the safety issues that are related to this.
Absolutely. Any other? We'll take a motion from Senator Canope.
Chair Roblin, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments as presented.
Senator Canope moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments as presented. Is there any discussion other than the one we had before? Is there any opposition? Seeing none, the amendments are adopted. Senator Canope.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 875 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Canope moves that Senate Bill 875 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Any opposition to that motion? Seeing none and no discussion, the bill passes. And before I put the gavel down, I would like to acknowledge that we do have a person with a birthday in our building today, and she happens to be the person who sponsored this bill, who has a child. So I just wanted to say from the committee, happy birthday to you on this day and your bill. So thank you very much, and we will close our work session on Senate Bill 875.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Since Byers wants to for a quick second.
Sure. So,
we just did the first one.
Write down the first one. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 214. I'll have a short explanation.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Senate Bill 214, as introduced, makes the calculation of aggregate days membership for kindergarten students contingent on an early reading program. This bill has no prior subsequent referral. We do have some Dash 1 amendments for this bill. A fiscal impact has been issued. Further analysis is required, and a revenue impact has been issued, and I believe this is one of the bills in our package.
This is what we would like to do with this bill is to move it to, without recommendation, because we don't have all the amendments done and we haven't vetted them. Two rules.
Mr. Chair, this is one of the bills that the OEIB work group is going to be using for our recommendations, and so it's appropriate at this time to send it to rules until we have our amendments ready.
And I have had a talk with the rules chair and ask that we have this, and that our committee will work on it. This work group will continue to work on it and bring her the recommendations when we've raised them. And she's agreed with that, so is the president. So with that, I will take, do we need to do a motion on, so Senator Canope.
My brain has arrived.
Okay.
Chair Roblin?
Closer than mine.
I move Senate Bill 214 without recommendation to the Senate Committee on Rules.
Senator Canope moves Senate Bill 214 without recommendation to the Senate Committee on Rules. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So moved. So we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 214. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 215, and we'll have a short explanation.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Senate Bill 215 removes the sunset on the Oregon Education Investment Board as introduced. This bill has no prior subsequent referral. There are no amendments at this time. I believe those are in the works. A fiscal impact has been issued. Further analysis is required, and there's no revenue impact for this bill.
So people know this is a big work group. We have around 40 people that come on a regular basis to have a conversation about how to move forward in this. And I think that has been going really well. I'll let Senator Cruz answer if he feels so, too. Talking about all the issues, and this bill affects a lot of different other rules. That's why you're seeing some of these others move at the same time. We believe we have the substance of a bill that will move forward, which requires us to then continue to move forward and work on all the details. But this one will set up the beginnings of that.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, basically what these two bills are going to do is put structure in place on a temporary basis while the work group will continue to work in the interim, and we are hopeful that we can have a pretty complete finished product for the short session.
Yep. Okay, cool. We'll have a bill that comes out of this one that sets it up. Yes, did you have a question?
No. Okay.
So I will entertain a motion.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 215 without recommendation to the Senate Committee on Rules.
Senator Canope moves that Senate Bill 215 without recommendation to the Senate Committee on Rules. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? It is on its way.
I mean, like I'm going to oppose that.
I know. I just like to look around, you know. I'm happy that my expression of wonder is still got you.
Next page. 216.
We're going to, did I close the last one? I'll make sure. I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 215. And I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 217. We'll have a short explanation.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Senate Bill 217 repeals statutory requirements related to specific strategic education investments. This bill has no prior subsequent referral, no amendments at this time. A fiscal impact has been issued, further analysis is required, and the bill has no revenue impact. This is the third in our set of three bills.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to put on the record because is Lindsay in here somewhere? Oh, Lindsay was doing a different job then. Sorry. I have trouble keeping track of where he's at.
It's going fast.
It's going fast. I'd made some comments when we heard this bill the first time because it was described as housekeeping changes. It actually is pulling a lot of language out of the statute, but I think that's really important. It's not really typical for us to take programs and put that level of detail into the statute.
Right.
This will allow us to have policy option packages that go through policy committees and then go through the Ways and Means process. My concerns before were just that I don't want to put all education policy in the hands of the Budget Committee. I think there is a role for the Policy Committee to vet new policies.
Yeah, and I think we all agree with that, and that's one of the reasons the committee said, our work group basically said, yeah, we think we agree with all that, but let's have it all together because they all intertwine. And as we're trying to simplify what the responsibilities were, but also clarify, we wanted to put it together with the others. So I appreciate that comment, too. Any other questions? So, Senator Canope.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 217 without recommendation to the Senate Committee on Rules.
Senator Canope moves Senate Bill 217 without recommendation to the Senate Committee on Rules. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? So moved. So we'll close our work session on Senate Bill 217. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 216. And we have some amendments here. This one does not intersect with with the other bill as much.
This is
and
the
so
mentoring.
We believe that those will work. Do we want to have
Hilda
and you want to come back to the in the work session? So Hilda, if you want to come up, we're going to just ask you about the amendments on this one. The two of them. So.
Which one are we on?
268.
Chair Roblin and members of the committee, and I'm joined here by one of my colleagues here. The amendments that you see here in the most recent version of this cleans up some things that we thought were important. So these dash one amendments address clarity around pieces that we had discussed around the mentoring bill primarily, and added some language in there that really strengthens the support for those districts applying for dollars for the mentor programs, and also lays out a parameter that says there should be at least a minimum of 75 hours of contact within the mentoring program. And that number was really derived from a group discussion around many of the members of the network advisory. Excuse me, I just ran over quickly because the order of the agenda.
Right.
So I'm catching my breath here.
No problem.
In addition to that, we looked at making sure that there was a way in which to use the network advisory to really oversee and come up with recommendations around the mentoring bill. So you'll notice on page 3, the section that talks about convening an advisory group, that was added in there. And also there were specifics that I'm going to let Kylie speak to, referencing the district collaboration grants and administration of those. So that has been added. I think you already knew that the bill was intended to open up eligibility for the network processes or projects for the tribes and education service districts, so that's clarified. And also, we had to deal with some language around what compromised or what composed technical assistance relative to the administration,
right,
so that the cost of those projects could be clarified in terms of what was allowable within the guidelines from the Oregon State Oregon Department of Education. So those are the primary pieces that were added here. And at this point, it might be helpful to have Kylie walk you through a couple of those changes as well.
Good afternoon, Chair Roblin, members of the committee. My name is Kylie Gurnow, and I am the Public Policy Director for the Chalkboard Project, and I am pleased to have some time in front of you today. And we urge your support of Senate Bill 216 and the Dash 1 amendments. As Hilda said, the bill and the amendments provide important changes to the statutory description of the Network for Quality Teaching and Learning. And briefly remember that this was passed in created in House Bill 3233 in 2013, and is the only statewide system of supports for Oregon's educators, the most important in-school factor on a student's success. The pieces of the bill that Hilda referenced, there are refinements to the network statute that improve the school district collaboration fund by allowing a nonprofit to administer the program, and also by providing the opportunity to participating districts to explore additional innovations out in addition to the primary four components of that program. So those are the two main refinements to the school district collaboration fund that is in 216 that we support. I can go into more detail. I've handed out a piece of paper that you all should have that go into that in even more detail. Okay. We support the Dash 1 amendments and the refinements to that. We also support the clarifications to the mentor program that Hilda briefly described. We really appreciated the process that she used to create those amendments, and we urge your support.
Any questions for the two? Okay. Thank you very much for your input. Senator Canope. Did I already open it? Yeah, I did. Okay.
Chair Roblin, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments as presented.
Senator Canope moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments as presented. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? The Dash 1 amendments are adopted. Senator Canope.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 216 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Canope moves. Senate Bill 216 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? So moved. Is there anyone that wants to carry that one? If not, I will do so. Okay, it'll be me. So we'll close our work session on Senate Bill 216, and we will open a work session on Senate Bill 612.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, as introduced, Senate Bill 612 requires school districts to screen students for risk factors for dyslexia and to ensure specified staff members receive training related to dyslexia. This bill has no prior subsequent referral. We are considering the Dash 5 amendments at this time. We've received fiscal and revenue impact statements for this bill. Further analysis is required. We'll be sending this to Waitley.
So if people remember, this is a dyslexic bill. The Dash 5 amendments, we want to give a short explanation of the Dash 5s. Can you? Would you like to come up and
I
do the Dash 5s?
I can give a long explanation okay. of the Dash 5s.
The Dash 5s actually take all the things we've talked about on the dyslexia bill. And we are asking now for a person at the Department of Education, and we are asking for that to be funded, who will be the dyslexia expert. We are asking that for the next couple years we look at to come up with the procedures and the assessment tools that would be used in first and second grade to assess kids. And then we're looking at getting teachers in every school trained in grades 1 through 5 and also explicitly saying that if you as an individual teacher want to take training online or otherwise, that you can do so and that will go towards your credits that you have to have for the next renewal. So it's basically building a system around it with the person that we need to have to make it happen. So that's, yes.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I've been having some conversation with the Autism Society on this same sort of subject about the early screenings kind of in a more global sense, and having this person as part of that group, because it turns out that there's some folks at OHSU that are very interested in trying to give us a more comprehensive way to do all these things. And so having a person on board at the department to be part of that group, I think would be very helpful.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, Senator Canope.
Chair Oblin, I move to adopt the Dash 5 amendments as presented.
Senator Canote moves to adopt the Dash 5 amendments as presented. Is there any discussion?
No.
None. Is there any opposition? Seeing none, so moved. Senator Canote.
Chair Oblin, I move Senate Bill 612 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Canote moves Senate Bill 612 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion?
There is none.
Any opposition?
Good.
It's passed. With that, we will close the work session on Senate Bill 612. With that, we will now, I wish one of you had a birthday. I could have done something for them. with that, we will move on to Senate Bill, open as work session on Senate Bill 493. And with that, we'll have a short explanation of our.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Senate Bill 493 removes the ability of the governor to disband a university governing board or force the university to take other action if the university fails to make timely compliance with conditions established when the State Board of Higher Education endorsed the governing board. This bill has no prior subsequent referral, no amendments, a minimal fiscal impact has been issued, and there is no revenue impact for this bill.
This is Senator Bates' conversation that we had here. Is there any? Okay, so with that, we will, Senator Canope.
Chair Oblin, I move Senate Bill 493 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Senator Canope moves Senate Bill 493 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? It is so moved. And I will have Senator Bates carry this bill. Okay. With that, we'll close our work session on Senate Bill 493. And we'll open a work session.
You want to carry that one over? Correct.
Oh, that's right. I don't need to do that one. Senate Bill 860. I think we're close. I've talked to the one sponsor. I haven't talked to Senator Gelser, but I'm going to carry that over to make sure that we have all the dots crossed and the I's done. So we're going to carry over Senate Bill 860. to Tuesday, which is getting close to the end, just so people know.
Damn close.
With that, I didn't open the session, so we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 953. We'll have a short explanation.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Senate Bill 953 establishes process by which future interests in specified Klamath County properties may be extinguished. This bill has no prior subsequent referral, no amendments, no fiscal impact, and no revenue impact.
So we probably remember Senator Whitsitt writing what Senator Beyer called as one of the tightest bills he's ever seen. So I agree. I think it is. It's not trying to reform land use or any of those other kinds of things that people think when you start talking about this stuff. It is about a particular
piece of
old school building that was given to the school district with certain conditions, and it's been impossible to figure out how to do that. So with that, Senator Canope.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 953 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Canope moves Senate Bill 953 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? It is moved, and we'll have Senator Whitsitt take this bill. We'll close our work session on Senate Bill 953, and we will open a work session. Let's see.
You might want to think about it.
We will not open session. We will move Senate Bill 957 to Tuesday.
So is there it over?
So that's where we go. Next, we're going to go to...
do you want to carry over the other bills and we'll give Dan a call?
Oh, we could do that. Okay. So we have one public hearing. We're going to call the one person we need here to explain what's going on with Senate Bill 80, which is a very large bill that takes its time. So we're going to call our person to come back over. We're going to also carry over Senate Bill 895 to Tuesday. We will carry over Senate Bill SJR 18 to Tuesday.
Hmm.
709 is being incorporated into a bill we have for a work session on Tuesday, so we'll carry it over just so it's there. But I think we're going to stick it into what's the number of the other bill?
We're sticking 955 into 709, I believe.
Oh, into 709. We will carry 709 then over to because I want to have the right bill to Tuesday.
Okay, that would be a good day.
And that's the other one that they're having conversations about is Senator Thatcher's bill that dealt with the Sherwood issue, and they're trying. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, yes. So we've put that into we're waiting for that amendment, and we'll have that as a separate amendment so that Senator Thatcher's constituent can clearly see that it's in there.
Okay, that makes sense to people. So what we're trying to do?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll carry over 709. And look at how quick Dan was. So with that, we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 80. And so we're having Dan come up and talk. He said that in less than a minute he can explain everything there is to know about Senate Bill 80. No, I'm kidding. If you look this bill up, you will know that we have much work to do on Senate Bill 80. So.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dan Gilbert. I'm an attorney at Legislative Council and asked to come here today to briefly discuss Senate Bill 80 and where it is right now. And as Chair Roblin mentioned, and as you've surely noticed, right now the only thing we have for Senate Bill 80 is still the placeholder, and unfortunately it looks like it will take probably a couple more weeks to be before it's in presentable form. So by way of refresher, what Senate Bill 80 is in 2013, we passed Senate Bill 270, which gave University of Oregon, PSU, and Oregon State University institutional governing boards. Since then, the remaining public universities have voted for and have been approved to receive governing boards of their own. And what this means is that as of July 1st of this year, the State Board of Higher Education, the Oregon University System, and the Office of the Chancellor will effectively cease to exist. And the reason for SB 80 is that these entities continue to exist in literally hundreds of statutes. So this bill is intended to be a cleanup bill, and when you finally get the opportunity to see it, the only real new sections that you will see should be ones that abolish those entities, repeal certain statutes, and have language dealing with how the transition should be managed and who should hold records. In contrast, the vast majority of the bill will be a lengthy list of repealed statutes and a long series of conforming amendments in which references to the State Board of Higher Ed, the Oregon University System, and the Chancellor's Office are either removed from statute and often but not always replaced by reference to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, a specific public university, or a list of all of the public universities. So the only way to go about doing this cleanup is to go statute by statute. It's been a lengthy task in which I've received considerable assistance from the universities, from the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, and from the chair and committee services. In all instances, we've done our best to reach consensus on only making changes that keep the current intent of the statute in place. And the reason we're not able to present the amendment to the committee right now is that many of these statutes relate to bonding or to funds. And these have proven to be trickier than anticipated to manage, especially as it's very important to continue to comply with all of our agreements. As Chair Roblin's mentioned in our meetings, it really is necessary that we ensure that we continue to use monies and funds for the purposes for which they've been given, that we don't inadvertently compromise any of our bonding rights or obligations as we do this. So with significant and much appreciated assistance from the universities and their council, we're getting very close to having a draft plan for how to deal with the funds and their provisions. But given the high stakes and the amount of money involved, we really want to make sure everything's right. So, you know, as we finalize the draft, there are several other state actors, you know, Treasury, LFO, that we really want to have a full opportunity to take a look at it and make sure that the intent behind all of this is what the bill actually does.
Any questions? The bonding stuff has been really complex. There are sub-accounts in some of these accounts that were selected for particular things, that were given for particular things. We need to know that they go to the right place and are spent on those things. We understand, and the universities have been really helpful in allowing us to use their bonding lawyers and other people to work through this. But at the end of the day, we also want our Treasury people to look through that same stuff with the eye from the state's perspective. And I think LFO has also said that they would like to make sure that they look through it so that they see the intent is the same. And getting that done before the rules in it was not going to work. So we have this scheduled for a public hearing on Tuesday. We anticipate moving it to rules, and we've already taken that step. But I just wanted you to know where we were at and what we were doing. Cool. So any other questions? So we're going to close our work session, our public hearing on Senate Bill 80. And I want to make one other statement. As I have told people many, many times in my life, that, and I found out over the years, that sometimes when things die, they really come back. And so Senate Bill 84 that we had yesterday, amendments are being made for that bill to be reintroduced as an amendment to Senate Bill 418, and we will have those available as soon as we can. There are a couple of options that are there, and that will be ready to go by Tuesday. So it would be put into the other bill and then move forward. So after we do that, after we have a conversation about how to do that, which ones we want. Yes.
Is there anything that's on here that's not coming back?
I think everything on here is coming back. Did we make sure we got them all?
Did we do 24?
So I'll make sure that we do this one. We're carrying over 860, 957, 709, 895, SJR 18. That's the ones we're carrying over. And I believe we moved or did with all the others.
And 709 you're carrying over?
709 is being carried over.
Okay.
Any, I like to be careful on these as well, so thank you, Sarah. So, Senator Gelser, I'm sorry. Yes, Senator Gelser.
Once that blue light goes on, then it can be Sarah.
That's right. Okay. Thank you.
Equal opportunity, SJR 18 is getting carried over, right?
It
that
is.
Was for Senator Beyer.
Exactly, that's right. So we're carrying over all of those, and that will conclude our education committee today, I think. Anybody have anything else they want to say? My mea culpa is for the other bill, different things that I've missed, so I'm 84. So thank you, and we will adjourn.
So Arnie, I just got a text from my daughter that said,